Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't let streaks or smearing on your windshield compromise your visibility. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and see our selection. Our professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades while you wait. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, I'm excited to share our newest sponsor here on the Meat Eater Podcast, which is Poncho Outdoors. The reason I'm excited is I buy their shirts anyways. Dude, they make some good shirts. And they even have an option where if you're like a skinny dude, you can click like the skinny dude thing. It's great. Based in Austin, Texas, Poncho is committed to crafting the world's best outdoor shirts for men. Poncho is only sold on their own website. So head over to ponchooutdoors.com, use code MEATEATER for a free hat or t-shirt with any purchase of a shirt. Poncho offers free shipping and returns, so you can try them out risk-free. Telling you what, Decked is a game changer. Decked has completely changed how I load, organize my truck. All my stuff that I want is always in there, out of my way, and secure. It's perfect. If you own a pickup truck that you use, you know, like a truck, the Decked drawer system gives you weatherproof storage for all your gear. You can lock it up, too. You keep your tools and gear organized, job site or out in the field. Go to Decked.com/meateater to receive free shipping. Go to Decked.com/meateater and get yourself some free shipping.
It's a Meat Eater Podcast.
Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Newarth, and today we're joined by Brody, Yanni, Randall, Cal, Riva, Seth, and Roman. This is a 10-round quiz show with questions from Meat Eater's four verticals, which are hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking. And there is a prize. Meat Eater will donate $500 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. And for the stat of the week this week, we're looking at the overtime drought that we're currently in. Excluding the tournament qualifying episodes, we've gone 10 weeks without a game going to overtime. That is the longest stretch in Meat Eater Trivia history. The last time we had a tiebreaker was in October when Yanni and Steve went to overtime with 8 correct answers each. The overtime drought.
Who won that one?
Who won that one, Yanni? Do you remember?
No, but I hope you have it in your tidbits.
Yanni won it. Yanni won that one.
Woo!
Well done, Yanni. Overtime drought. No, I know that for certain.
Okay. Is your reservoir of overtime questions runneth over at this point?
Runneth over. No, it does not. I get a lot of requests to have an overtime question every single episode for people who play at home.
Oh.
And then when they tie, they would like to break their tie. But overtime questions are hard, so I don't want to just use them all willy-nilly. Got to earn them. Maybe it'll happen today. I don't know. I'll just predict an overtime right now between, like, I don't know, two or three of you.
Me and
like
Randall.
That. There you go.
Now, here's our infrequently asked questions segment. If you have a trivia-related question for our crew, send it to trivia@themeateater.com with the subject line IFAQ. Wyatt Towns wants to know, what's the worst trivia question a fan has ever sent you? There's not one specifically, but there's an iteration of a question that I've probably received 100 times.
What am I thinking?
Almost.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. It's an iteration of a question that I've received a ton. I've never used it. It's like, what state has the most miles of shoreline, or what state has the most miles of navigable water? Everyone has a different answer. Google has different answers. Our emails have emailers have different answers. Nebraska, Minnesota, Kentucky, Louisiana, Alaska. A lot of tourist agencies like to claim that they have the most miles of shoreline or water or navigable water. That's just not a question we're ever going to do because it's very murky as to what the correct answer is. But folks from Nebraska like to say it's them. People from Kentucky like to say it's them. It's all over the map. We're not going to have that one in trivia, though. The other one, the worst questions that I get would be people who write in and specifically say, here's a zero percenter. Or here's one that's going to stump the room. I don't want those questions. The goal isn't to like stump you guys in the room or to stump our listeners, right? We want to like create a fun game that people have a chance at getting the questions correct. So if you think you have a question that's a zero percenter, or your goal is to stump Yanni and Brody and Steve and Cal, It's probably not going to make it on the show. There we go. Now, for the housekeeping portion of today's show, I'm going to throw it to Randall to give you a recap of bar trivia that Phil, Randall, and I attended last night. Randall, tell folks about the evening.
It was a lovely evening. We played a 4-round, 10-question each round trivia game. We would have come in third had we challenged a scoring error in the final round, but third place just
don't
isn't
fight
worth
over third.
Yeah. That's just asking for it. But yeah, it was a great evening. Chili was there. Maggie was there. Shelby of the Shelby Index was there, and my wife Sydney was there.
What were the stakes? What could you have won?
Free bar tab.
Yeah,
cover. But they're unclear about what that is,
yeah,
right? If we had created a $500 bar tab, I can't imagine that would have been covered. Probably is capped somewhere like $50.
It's $50, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Yeah, and to your earlier point, there were no 0%. I mean, it was a well executed
20
trivia.
Teams, mind you. Third place out of 20 teams.
Yeah, and they were all good questions. There were no like questions where you just thought there's no way I could possibly answer that. There's sufficient context to have like a back and forth between the team. Mm-hmm. And
what were some of the like the questions? Like
there was the four categories. There was Gen Ed, there's ski mountains, state capitals, and 90s movies. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody on the team had at least one question where they were they had the clutch bit of info that
Randall and Sydney had that like 25 times.
Randall's being humble. Probably 70% of our answers came from Randall.
Chili.
Randall knows as much trivia as you'd expect.
I will say Chili was the only one who knew the name of the mongoose from the Jungle Book.
Mm-hmm. Ricky Tikki Tavi.
Ricky Tikki Tavi.
Oh, like the original Jungle Book.
Yeah. Chili pulled that one out just without
Rudyard
flinching.
Kipling. Mm-hmm. Yes.
But yeah, it was a great evening. I look forward to playing again.
Phil, you have anything to add about our third place bar trivia?
Randall really dug himself into a hole because we're not playing trivia without Randall anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, if he can't make it, I don't even know.
He only lives like 45 minutes away.
I think the biggest revelation of the evening was that the closest Phil has ever come to getting into a bar fight was when he confronted someone in a trivia match for catching them cheating in the restroom by looking at answers on their phone.
Oh, yes, Phil.
I think that was the watershed moment for me last year.
Also, he had to Google who the bass player for Kiss was, and it's like, come on.
We can do it again. We'll have more bar night trivia updates in the future. Now, the Shelby Index for today's round is a 4, so our winner should get 8 correct answers. And with that, we're on to the game of trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything.
Game on, suckers!
Question 1, the topic is fishing, and this will be multiple choice. Which of these colorful fish has the heaviest world record? Is it bluegill, yellow perch, white bass, or green sunfish? What these fish have in common is they all have a color in their name. So which of these colorful fish has the heaviest world record? Bluegill, yellow perch, white bass, green sunfish. Pretty confident looking room. Randall, have you caught all of these fish?
I assume I've caught a green sunfish at some point. So,
okay. Cal, have you caught all 4 of these fish?
I'm not sure a green sunfish is a real fish.
Okay, well, the IGFA record books recognizes it as a real fish.
Yeah, they're like native to the Western United States.
An individual species?
It's a green sunfish.
Helping
it's a
out, Cal.
Is a sunfish.
Is a white perch like up in Maine considered a white bass?
I don't think they're the same.
They're not the same fish. I worked on the Missouri River in South Dakota. I think we had one documented white perch ever.
I'm really torn.
Tell you that.
Really torn.
Brody, I think we're waiting on you then.
Oh, we're waiting? Well, you should have said something.
I just went with the gut.
Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Reva saying yellow perch, Roman saying green sunfish, Randall saying white bass, Cal saying white bass, Yanni saying white bass, Seth saying white bass, Brody saying white bass. The correct answer is white bass. The room did well. The world record green sunfish is 2 pounds, 2 ounces. The world record yellow perch is 4 pounds, 3 ounces. The world record bluegill is 4 pounds, 12 ounces. And the world record white bass is 6 pounds, 13 ounces. That record was set in Virginia in 1989 and then tied in Louisiana in 2010. So 2 pounds bigger than the world record bluegill.
You know those weird like triploid bluegills? Are they included in that world record?
The IGFA record books breaks it out much further than you think it would. They have those weird man-made bred ones.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm.
Well, they have, I don't know, it feels like dozens of sunfish and bluegill records in there.
Yeah.
So I would imagine that they have, like, even hybrids that you didn't know existed mm-hmm. are in the IGFA record book. I think if someone was determined, they could go to the IGFA record book, find a record that's easy to beat with like a certain line class, and then go out and beat it tomorrow if you wanted to. Question two, the topic is hunting. This next great question comes to us via Corey Davis. What is the smallest subspecies of moose, which is found in places such as Alberta, Washington, and Utah? Brody is confident.
Good question. Spencer.
Okay. Yanni likes this Good question, Corey Davis. What is the smallest subspecies of moose, which is found in places such as Alberta, Washington, and Utah? I think Corey Davis used to be a wide receiver for the Tennessee Titans. I don't think this is the same Corey Davis, though.
You know what's a weird IGFA thing, too?
What?
When you're, like, East Coast, mm-hmm. you got all those states, little tiny states packed yep. together, cute little states.
Oh, you're going to talk about offshore records, right?
Yeah. And it's like, you can look on your phone and be like, okay, I have a X pound whatever. Mm-hmm. And if you return to a port in a state that is not the port that you left from, mm-hmm. you can get that state's record.
It's not the port that you left from?
It comes down to the people.
It's crazy.
It's like, we have better fishermen.
Yeah. You're like, I'm not going to go back to Delaware. I'm going to park it in Rhode Island, yeah. and then I'll have the... Whatever, bluefin tuna record.
Yeah.
Again, what is the smallest subspecies of moose? Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Reva saying Cascade, Roman without an answer. The rest of the room saying Shiris. They got it. The correct answer is Shiris. Shiris are the smallest moose subspecies in terms of height, weight, and antler size. The Boone and Crockett world record scored 205 inches, which is 40 inches smaller than the world record Canada moose and 50 inches smaller than the world record Yukon moose. Shiris have the southernmost range and are found in British Columbia, Montana, Idaho, Oregon, Wyoming, Colorado, and Nevada. Any of you boys killed a Shiris moose?
I have a cow. Cow Shiris.
What state was that in? Colorado?
Colorado.
I killed a Shiris bull in Montana.
Oh, very nice. Where's that at? You got a spot picked out in your house?
Yeah, it kind of travels around with us and always occupies the place of prime importance in the living room.
Okay.
I've got a big slab that we cut off as a plaque and got it Euro mounted.
Question three. The topic is cooking. Merriam-Webster defines this 10-letter word as, quote, a crescent-shaped dumpling filled with pork, pan-fried, and then steamed. Merriam-Webster defines this 10-letter word as a crescent-shaped dumpling filled with pork, pan-fried, and then steamed. See some... Hangman dashes being drawn on boards. Randall is confident. Yanni has not picked up his whiteboard yet. Brody's trying to find all 10 letters. What do you got, Cal?
Point out to you that I'm turning the board instead of flipping the board over.
Very nice. Did you get some feedback on the board flipping situation?
I didn't.
Okay. It was on the brink of being addressed, Cal. It was almost a problem with how often
I just truly wasn't
on.
Paying attention.
Uh-huh.
So I do apologize. It wasn't an intentional thing.
Okay.
But I did notice, and it was already wrapped up in conversation, that you misinterpreted the upside down answer.
That was going to be a future housekeeping. I think what did you wrote Arkansas and I said Alabama.
It was Alabama or something like that. And it would have been a fun thing to come clean with at the end if it would have been a tie. But then it never happened. And just the time had passed.
Yeah. The YouTube the YouTube commenters were on to you, Cal.
Hey, Phil, as well is there any way you could pipe like white noise into our headphones when these discussions are happening so we can like actually think, you know, come up with an answer?
It's impossible.
Here's
Sorry.
The question again.
If somebody in this room has never gone to a takeout
there's
some
Asian
food
you're helping out folks, Cal. Merriam-Webster defines this 10-letter word as a crescent-shaped dumpling filled with pork, pan-fried, and then steamed. Seth and Yanni have blank boards. I can't see Brody's board, but I assume it is as well. Randall and Cal are confident. Reva, do you have this one? No, she has a blank board as well. A 10-letter word.
I assume the word isn't in the question.
It's that, the answer is not dumpling. Is that 10 letters? I don't know.
No.
No, it's not.
Okay.
I counted.
Is everybody ready? Oh, Yanni, what happened to your hand there? That's a nice-looking scar. You're just not going to tell us?
Cat scratch.
Took you a long time to come up with that. Seth, do you have an answer?
Just draw.
I do, yeah.
Okay.
Damn, I'm one letter over.
Just get rid of it. Get rid of a vowel.
It's not coming.
Cal,
to me.
When's the last time you had this crescent-shaped dumpling?
It'd be very hard to say.
Okay.
What? The word will not come to me.
I think we're going to have to just move on, bro.
I don't think I've seen that before.
Oh, my God.
We could just like skip this one and then put it at the end.
No, my kid just ate, like made his own.
Oh, wow.
There's a really great cookbook that is a name that's not correct. But it's by this lady. I think her name's Michelle Wong. And it's blank made the Wong way.
Okay, I think we're going to... That's enough.
All right.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Reva saying dim sum. Roman without an answer. Randall saying pot sticker. Cal saying pot sticker. Yanni without an answer. Seth saying egg roll. Brody without an answer. The correct answer is pot sticker. Randall and Cal got it. Pot stickers were accidentally invented by a chef in China's imperial court about 1,000 years ago. The cook forgot about a batch of dumplings on the stove, leaving one side burnt. He served them that way anyway, and they were a hit. To learn how to make pot stickers with wild game, go to themeateater.com and check out our recipe called Venison Dumplings.
Makes Spencer. For a super fun get-together night. Make a bunch of... dumpling dough, and then everybody can kind of bring whatever, and then you roll them up and have a bunch of different courses and stuff.
What do you got for
clean
us,
out
Seth?
The freezer time of year.
Seemed like you had some feedback over here.
No, it wasn't bad. I was just going to say, at what point do we get new?
The board is thoroughly broken. Cal, next time we do an auction house of oddities, I think we can just get rid of these boards that way, and we'll bring in a whole new batch. We're going to have to do some duct tape repair.
You've got a flat tire over there.
Yeah, I wonder if you put them all together in like one big board.
There's
a thought.
Oh, yeah.
All the shit that went wrong in Mexico, sorry, Cal, is transitioning into these boards.
There we go. Question 4.
Flat tires.
The topic is biology. This next great question comes to us via John Schlesinger. Technology used to follow this satellite, which was launched by the Soviets in 1957, birthed the science of wildlife telemetry. Technology used to follow this satellite, which was launched by the Soviets in 1957, birthed the science of wildlife telemetry. Randall is confident. Randall, you have this one right.
I only know one Soviet satellite.
Okay.
So I went with that. Uh-huh. Process of elimination.
Oh, it's the name the satellite.
Name the satellite.
Oh, thank God.
That's right. Yanni, you'd be happy to know that one of your questions from when you hosted Meat Eater Trivia came up last night in Bar Trivia. It was about the state capital that has an elevation over 7,000 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Great. You guys must have got it.
We got did. That one right. I don't think we would have had you not had that question on the show. So well done, Yanni. You were there in spirit.
Yeah.
Technology used to follow this satellite, which was launched by the Soviets in 1957, birthed the science of wildlife telemetry. Yanni, how do you feel about your answer?
Same as Randall.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're naming a satellite?
The satellite.
And I don't even know if I know the name of a Russian satellite. I might just know the name of a Russian other space
projectile they threw up there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I only know one satellite, and I only know one cosmonaut.
Brody, how we doing over here?
Horrible.
Who's the cosmonaut?
Yuri Gagarin, I believe. I can't recall the exact spelling. But
why do we know him?
He was an early pioneer of space.
I think he was the first
travel. I think he was the first man in space.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. The first dog was Laika. I know that.
Yeah. No, we had any dogs in space.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good for us. Was it an American dog?
It was them. I mean, if you're talking about us as like a human species, yeah.
Yeah.
We can all look back on this fondly as a collective effort.
Okay.
Yes.
Is everybody ready, Brody?
Nope.
I think we're going to have to move on. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Reva saying Sputnik. Roman saying Schlesinger satellites. Randall saying Sputnik. Cal saying Sputnik. Yanni saying Sputnik. Seth saying Sputnik. Brody without
Not
an
really.
Answer.
Yeah, it's close enough, Brody.
he made it a potato. He said Sputnik.
Sputnik.
We're going to give it to you. The correct answer is Sputnik. Sputnik.
That's a good trivia question, Spencer, is how many animals are still rotating around the Earth that people have sent up there?
Do you know the answer?
Well, there's dogs and monkeys and birds and fish and... Yeah. Dirty little secret.
There could be like an IGFA record set there. The biggest fish caught in space.
Ooh, there you go.
There we go. Bill Cochran was an engineer in the 1950s who worked two jobs. One was helping build the Discover satellite, which was America's answer to Sputnik, and the other was helping track bird migrations. Eventually, someone at his migratory bird job asked about putting a radio transmitter on a mallard, so that's what they did. This was essentially the same technology different nations were using to track their spy satellites. Question 5. The topic is public lands. What state is home to Black Canyon of the Gunnison National Park, Great Sand Dunes National Park, and Mesa Verde National Park? With a confident Brody, maybe this will get his game back on track.
I don't know. I think that pot sticker question just doomed me.
Doomed him. What state is home to Black Canyon of the Gunnison National Park, Great Sand Dunes National Park, in Mesa Verde National Park? Has anybody been to one of these places?
Similar.
I think you shouldn't be allowed to answer that question.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Brody would prefer you hold your answer on if you've been there.
I've looked
at one
from a distance.
It's a certain type of intellect that can store a pot sticker in their brain. You know?
It's only possessed by Randall and Cal in this room.
I've been to one. Really wanted to go to another one.
Mm, okay. Is that helping folks out? No.
Probably not.
Okay. Is everybody ready? Quick answers this round. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Reva saying New Mexico. Roman saying New Mexico. The rest of the room says Colorado. They got it. The correct answer is Colorado. Colorado has 4 national parks, with the other one being Rocky Mountain National Park. After Alaska, California, and Utah, it has the most national parks in the nation. Mesa Verde and Black Canyon of the Gunnison are 2 of the smallest parks west of the Mississippi River.
Did a family road trip through all of these.
All of them?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
Oh, yeah. Peaks and valleys.
Okay.
For sure. Yeah. Great Sand Dunes was the sand mites. Or sand lice or something.
You take those with you to the next national park?
Oh, man, everybody just got destroyed. You know, because you're like kids and you want to like go roll down the sand dunes or whatever. Uh-huh. Yeah, it was nasty.
If you keep going past Great Sand Dunes, there's a place that has alligators.
Like, you mean like fossils or what?
No, no, no. Live alligators. Like driving towards
like
New
Mexico. Like a zoo.
Like a roadside attraction.
It's the weirdest thing in the world. Have you driven past that?
Phil, we are halfway through the game of trivia. Give us a scoreboard update.
We'll do really quick. I was too busy processing Sputnik. Brody, did you get Sputnik or not?
I did not.
Okay.
We've got to rub it in.
I swear I don't try to do that. We got Roman with 0 points. Reva's got one. Brody has three. Giannis and Seth have four. And tied up in first place with 5 points and a perfect game are Cal and Randall.
Spring is a great time to do something with your family. Do some spring cleaning, which I kind of started today outside, planning outdoor activities, which I'm always doing, taking a little trip to Hawaii with your kids for spring break, which I just did, which was great. You know what else you can do for your family this spring? You can shop for life insurance with Policy Genius. Make that part of your financial planning for the year. I've said it before 1,000 times, I'll say it again. When my wife and I, when we started having kids, we got serious about life insurance, and man, I felt so much better after we did. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Even if you already have a life insurance policy through work, it may not offer enough protection for your family's needs, and it may not follow you if you leave your job. So save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. You know, I didn't realize this about myself before until I saw the terminology for it, but as a hydrator, I'm a chug person, meaning I go and go and go and go and go because I'm busy and thinking about what I'm doing. And then I go like, man, I need to hydrate. And then I just chug. And one thing that helps me chug a lot more and more frequently is Liquid IV. Because frankly, water kind of bores me, but I love Liquid IV. 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. I love how convenient the packaging is for whatever it is I'm doing that day. Traveling, in the field, working in the office, I'm still drinking Liquid IV. It's satisfying, helps me get rehydrated, and even when I'm flying around, I just carry it in my pack. I keep it in my computer bag. One stick, 16 ounces of water, hydrates better than water alone. No artificial sweeteners. However you like to hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier, sugar-free, in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code MEATEATER at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code MEATEATER at liquidiv.com. Man, I've had a Helix sleep mattress for years, and man, that thing is nice. The Helix lineup, just comfortable. It feels good, and you don't get all like, it's not all like hot and sticky in the summertime. It's not cold in the winter. The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and even a mattress made just for kids. Take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. Helix knows there's no better way to test out a mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/meateater and use code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Question 6. The topic is conservation. This next great question also comes to us via John Schlesinger.
God.
What a guy.
The satellite guy.
He is our most prolific prolific emailer, and he probably has the highest like batting percentage as far as questions being used.
How many hats and t-shirts have you sent, John?
He's been our listener question of the week before. So he is, I don't know if he won a board game or a book at that time. I haven't even read the question yet. Randall's writing it down because he can see it on the screen. Here it is.
John, if you feel like you're not getting you know, what you need out of this deal. Mm-hmm. Just write in. Just say, heads up, Yanni. That'll be the code word. And Spencer will pass that off to me with your address. I'll take care of you.
Uh-huh. And Roman will probably get your email as well.
Oh, that's right.
Here's the question we have.
Here's the question.
What federal agency almost exclusively drove pea green vehicles until the year 2000?
I feel like there could be a visual component to this because, you know, pea green's open for interpretation.
Is that a technical term?
Is that like...
No. It's not a technical term.
Yeah, if it's not technical.
There's enough other context clues there.
With pea green and
what federal agency almost exclusively drove pea green vehicles until the year 2000? I believe it was when I read something from Auto Trader about this, and then they described them as pea green.
Huh.
So there you go. PEA. Green.
Okay.
What federal agency almost exclusively drove pea green vehicles?
If I've got the answer right.
Until the year 2000.
Phil, you can't pull up a picture of pea green.
I bet people have different interpretations of that.
Mm-hmm.
What company had the contract?
Mm-hmm. There's an answer to that? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
Had it been good.
Is everybody ready? Yeah. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Reva saying Rangers, Roman saying Forest Service, Randall saying Forest Service, everyone else saying Forest Service. They got it. The correct answer is the U.S. Forest Service. For decades, the agency almost exclusively purchased vehicles that were painted a color that became known as Forest Service Green. The iconic color was started getting phased out about 20 years ago as a way to save money. The Forest Service said it cost $500 more per vehicle to get them painted that color and then made it harder for the agency to resell them. They have now transitioned to driving white vehicles instead, which are the cheapest to purchase. This change has actually made the remaining Forest Service green trucks a collector's item. Can you guys now picture the Forest Service green vehicles?
Oh, yeah, I always wanted one.
Yeah, I just don't know if I'd...
I think it's closer to a mint green.
I was going to say.
Yeah, once it fades out a little bit.
Pea green's like, pea green. Picture pea soup, man. It's like a dull kind of like olivey.
Yeah, OD.
No, I picture a Forest Unappealing Service green. Yeah, do you guys recall seeing Forest Service green trucks all over the mountains back in the day?
Well, I had friends driving them during high school.
Oh, like they bought them from the Forest Service, or they were trying to match the Forest Service?
No, it bought them from the Forest Service.
I know somebody that I think he still owns one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know a guy that owns one.
But it kind of, I think, hurt us when we were trying to get hunting permissions out of this vehicle.
Oh, when you're trying
anti-government
police. Yeah.
That's good. Question 7. The topic is fishing. The three most popular freshwater fishing lines at Shields and Bass Pro Shops are braid, monofilament, and blank. The three most popular freshwater fishing lines at Shields and Bass Pro Shops are braid, monofilament, and blank. You need to tell me what that third one is. Confident room, except for maybe Roman and Reva.
I wonder who fishes here.
Reva, I like that. It's a t-shirt under a different sweater. Oh, let's see.
Yeah, I recognize the logo.
he doesn't like it anymore.
I thought you had a like a
takes
hoodless
his compliment back.
Yeah.
Sweatshirt.
Oh yeah. New merch idea right there.
There you go.
Is everybody ready?
Burn your hand or something?
No, it's the cat got after me.
Is that what happened?
No.
Okay, well, so you just can't tell us or what?
No.
Oh, okay. Can you tell us when the mics are off?
Maybe.
Okay. Interesting. Heck of a scar on Yanni's hand.
Please write in. Let us know what you think happened to Giannis.
Yeah.
Is everybody ready?
I can pull up my pant legs, too, if you want to get...
Yanni, go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Reva and Roman without an answer. The rest of the room says fluorocarbon. They got it. The correct answer is fluorocarbon. Fluorocarbon is less visible and more durable than monofilament, but is typically more expensive and has less knot strength. Fluoro is a great choice when going after spooky fish with light bites. To learn more about these three types of line, check out our article on themeateater.com called What Fishing Line Should I Choose? Seth, what situations do you like to tie on fluorocarbon?
I use it as leader material when I'm walleye fishing.
There you go. Pitching jigs with it?
Yep.
Question 8. The topic is woodsmanship. This next great question comes to us via Philip C. The History Channel launched this survival competition reality show in 2015, which they call, quote, the ultimate test of human will. Randall is confident. He's the only one. The History Channel launched this survival competition reality show in 2015, which they call, quote, the ultimate test of human will. This is question 8. We'll get a scoreboard update from Phil after this. Seth, you know this one.
No.
Brody, you know this one.
Pretty sure. Pretty sure I got it.
Cal, you got this one?
No idea.
Okay.
I mean, I know names of shows, so I picked one.
Sure. Is everybody ready? Looking for the History Channel survival competition reality show launched in 2015. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Reva saying Alone. Roman saying Survivor. Randall saying Alone. Cal saying Alone. Yanni saying Naked and Afraid. Seth saying Alone. Brody saying Alone. The correct answer is Alone. Mm. Cal and Brody, I think, kept the perfect game going.
Not me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Cal and Randall.
Oh,
we'll get a scoreboard update.
Coming back around.
Confirm after this. The grand prize for winning Alone is $500,000. Clay Hayes, who won season 8, survived for 74 days in the Canadian wilderness. He said in an Outdoor Life article that he wore the same First Light base layers for a month straight, calling merino wool a miracle fabric that helped him win the show. Phil, we have 2 questions left. Give us a scoreboard update.
Let's see here. We've got, out of the game, are Roman and Reva. Those are the only two. Everyone else is technically still in. Giannis and Brody have 6 points apiece. Mm. Seth has 7, and perfect games, Cal and Randall, tied up in first place.
Shaping up for a tiebreaker.
We recently bathed together, so it's kind of funny that
we did.
Okay, did you boys go to the hot spring together?
Yeah, the hot spring, that'd be another way to say it. We're in hot spring, yeah.
Got to soak in.
Mm-hmm. Question 9, the topic is hunting. This type of motor, which comes in short tail and long tail, is commonly used on duck boats. This type of motor, which comes in short tail and long tail, is commonly used on duck boats. Randall, is this going to keep the perfect game going?
Is it a brand name or is it a type of motor?
It's not a brand name.
Okay.
How about you, Cal?
I think so, but I could just be something that we say.
That's what I'm.
Okay.
I'm wondering if there's a more technical term.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Dropping hints there, Randall.
I mean,
for who?
I just need to get it right. That's all that matters.
Maybe we'll have our first ever perfect game tiebreaker.
Ooh.
It's never been a thing in Meat Eater Trivia.
We've come real close before.
This could be the day.
Real close.
Is everybody ready? Looking for the type of motor which comes in short tail and long tail that's commonly used on duck boats. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Reva saying outboard. Roman without an answer. Randall saying mud motor. Cal saying outdrive. Yanni saying mud. Seth saying mud motor. Brody saying mud motor. The correct answer is mud motor. Randall got it right. Cal, can you prove to me that people call those outdrives?
Called it on every episode that I was on for the duck show.
And it has.
Because I thought mud motor was a brand name.
There's Mud Buddy.
Mud Buddy.
But,
right?
No. But
so I mud think motor came from Mud Buddy, which would be the brand name. So
no,
instead of being...
Yeah, I think it's the other way around. I think Mud Buddy came from Mud Motor.
Well, like I said before, I don't actually know this.
I will do some Googling after I read our factoid, but for now, Cal, we're going to say you're wrong.
Yeah, so we'll whatever.
Mud motors are designed to navigate through shallow, hazard-filled waters that have dense vegetation, stumps, and rocks. Unlike outboard motors, mud motors are air-cooled instead of water-cooled, which makes them superior in shallow waters. They gained popularity after World War II, where Germans used them to cross shallow waterways. Cal, we're now going to look up, what'd you call it? Out motor?
Outdrive.
Outdrive motor. See what it says. Outdrive, stern drive. I'm not seeing anything that talks about them being a mud motor, Cal.
Like I said, man, I'm not going to go to the board on this one.
Okay. Is anyone who want to defend Cal's answer?
He's passionately dispassionate about this.
I mean, that's just, yeah, just what we called it. So.
Okay.
I thought there was another term, like an inline something else, that which was what I was trying to come up with.
Hmm.
But I couldn't think of it, so.
Sorry, Cal. I'm seeing surface drive, which is another name for the short tail motors, but I'm not seeing any outdrive. We're on to question 10. The perfect game remains in Randall's grasps. The topic is wildlife. This is our listener question of the week, which was won by Samantha McCann. For sending this great question, Samantha is going to get a board game signed by the crew. If you want a chance to win our listener question of the week, then send your question to trivia@themeateater.com. Name one of the six tortoises native to North America. Name one of the six tortoises native to North America. Brody is confident.
Doesn't matter, though, does it? Doesn't Randall have it? Or,
well, Cal could tie him.
So could Seth.
Oh, so could... Wow, Seth. Good on you.
Thanks, Spencer.
Well, I've been so focused on that end of the table that I almost forgot about our other players in the room. So Seth, who has not picked up his whiteboard yet.
I'm proud of you, Seth.
Thanks, Cal.
Yeah, name one of the six tortoises native to North America.
You could have given me six guesses at how many tortoises are native to North America, and I don't think I would have come up with that number. So, God.
Has anybody ever seen a tortoise in this room? Like out in nature.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You did, Cal. Oh, that's fun. Do you know what it was?
Yeah.
Okay. So you think you have this one right?
I know one of the six, for sure.
Very good. Randall, do you have this one right? Are you going to get the perfect game?
Can I give you a hint?
No, don't do it. Okay. Do not give him a hint.
I'm going with a very vanilla guess.
Okay. It's kind of
context.
Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Reva saying snapping turtle, Roman saying snapping turtle, Randall saying desert, Cal saying gopher, Giannis saying desert, Seth saying brown, Brody saying desert. The six tortoises are Texas tortoise, gopher tortoise, Bolson tortoise, and any of the three types of desert tortoise, which are Mojave desert tortoise, Sonoran desert tortoise, and thorn scrub tortoise. If you just said desert, like Randall, I will give it to you. That is a correct answer. The desert tortoise thing division
well,
has been much debated.
I could have named a lot of different brands of outdrive motor.
Desert tortoise.
Come on.
I decided ahead of time. That's why I phrased it that any of the three types of desert tortoise. It's even debated if there's five or six because of how people will lump and split the desert tortoises. Well done, Randall. Perfect game. His first ever perfect game. Felt like a long time coming. You've threatened before, but now you've done it. You just needed that trivia bar warm-up last night. That's
I
got to
say, this last question really makes it feel kind of hollow.
No, I don't think
so. I mean, I'm still overjoyed. You know, it's not lost on me what a wonderful privilege it is to play this game. And just want to thank all of my competitors for this moment.
You got one answer, though, that covers 50% of the question. That's kind of, I mean, come on.
Yeah. Now, the gopher tortoise
there's six
is,
choices. But
whatever the first three were when you were reading those, I was like, oh, there's no way that desert is a thing.
The gopher tortoise is found.
I should just put America's tortoise.
There you go. The gopher tortoise is found in Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, and Florida. It's the only tortoise naturally found east of the Mississippi River. The other five species of tortoise are found in California, Nevada, Utah, Arizona, Texas, and Mexico. What happens next, Randall, is the perfect game winner. You get to choose where a $1,000 donation from Meat Eater goes. So what's it going to be?
Guard the gate, Randall. Guard the gate.
Do you want to
trying to sway him?
Are you asking for a CRWM?
Yeah. Oh yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Let's do that. Time is of the essence. There's no more pressing. Well, there's probably a lot of pressing issues, but it's among some of the most pressing issues facing Hunters and Anglers Today.
Explain what that is. We've now donated, I think, 3 straight episodes to this cause.
Coloradans for Responsible Wildlife Management. And I think I'll let one of our resident Coloradans, former Coloradans, better explain the details than I can.
They are fighting the soon-to-be ballot initiative, probably, if it gets onto the ballot, 91. There could be another one, but in essence, they're trying to outlaw the hunting of cats in Colorado. And a lot of people think that this is the front tip. If that goes, then all sorts of other hunting will just be in line after that to get axed. So even if you are not a hunter of big cats, but if you like hunting in general, I'm speaking for all of us in this room and at this company, believe that you should support CWRM. Sorry,
CRWM.
You know what we've never talked about, Giannis, is what they're actually doing to help out. People,
tell us.
No, I'm gone.
What CRWM is doing?
Yeah.
I mean, they're the only ones, I don't want to say the only ones doing anything, but literally the ones that are on the front line. They are organizing basically what's going to have to be the informational campaign that's going to have to be put out there as if this thing does become a ballot initiative. They're going to be the anti-campaign that puts forth a lot of money, energy, effort to educate, hopefully, the front range voters of Colorado, because they are the ones that are going to probably end up making this decision, and try to sway them to not outlaw this hunting. Was that good?
Yeah.
That's why we're sending another
real information as opposed to what's the other side's doing.
Yeah, correct.
Sending another $1,000 their way. Well done, Randall. Perfect game. Our second one of 2024. And I remind you, we didn't have any in 2023. So we're off to a strong start. Join us next week for more Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins.
Thanks, Spencer.
Thank you, Spencer.
Good job, Spencer.
And Randall.
Oh, thank you, Dennis.
Hey, I'm excited to share our newest sponsor here on the Meat Eater Podcast, which is Poncho Outdoors. The reason I'm excited is I buy their shirts anyways. Dude, they make some good shirts. And they even have an option where if you're like a skinny dude, you can click like the skinny dude thing. It's great. Based in Austin, Texas, Poncho is committed to crafting the world's best outdoor shirts for men. Poncho is only sold on their own website. So head over to ponchooutdoors.com. Use code MEATEATER for a free hat or t-shirt with any purchase of a shirt. Poncho offers free shipping and returns, so you can try them out risk-free. This show is sponsored in part by BetterHelp. It is a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that they need and that meets them where they are and helps them get through challenges. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, it's simple to use. You can connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at betterhelp.com. That's better, H-E-L-P.com.